All right, let's keep going. Mike in Hayward. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. You know, I always want to say one thing. You know, the Oklahoma City and the other teams that's left in the competition are good teams. They're really good teams. But it seems like we still got a good skill set and a good mind to beat all these teams. The skill set is still there. We talk about how old these guys are, but they got skill set. And they got Buddy Hield coming off the bench. Any one of those guys they got can break out like that. So I think with the acquirement of Buddy Hield, he's actually elevated everybody's game, which makes it almost impossible for Minka to even get on the floor. He can't even get on the floor because he don't have a basketball IQ to get on the floor with what's going on now. The team's a better team, so it's elevated. So I got news for you. Oklahoma City and all the other teams, they're going to have hell on their hands.
Mike, thanks. I don't feel as confident as Mike does. I think the Warriors are going to have hell on their hands too. I don't disagree with Mike, but the Warrior vets, we get it. They're fantastic. They're playoff performers. They every time we think they're done, they're not done. All these things are true. I just have, I have a lot of respect for the 8 teams that are left.
Oh, yeah.
And this Final Four in the West, if you come out, not only if you make the playoffs, but if you come out of a first-round series, do you know how good you have to be? Oklahoma City is next level. Denver, full of champions.
Yep.
Minnesota, probably the best young player in the league, combined with a trip to the Western Conference Finals last year. Like, dude, all 4 of these teams are absolute hell on wheels. All of them. They're all matchup nightmares.
Yeah, and just put Oklahoma City at the top of the list and realize what they did in the regular year with the best plus-minus point differential in the history of the association.
Mm-hmm.
And the other teams on that list, teams 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, all won the NBA championship. So, and teams that win more than 67 games, they go on to win the NBA title 80% of the time. So they check 2 gigantic boxes in OKC. Now I know they're young and they've never done it, but you have to go through a very good Minnesota team to even have that possible conversation.
Right, absolutely. And they've got their own challenge. Like, I don't care how much better you are, how much more rested you are, playing Nikola Jokic sucks. It is so hard. He's the worst matchup in the league for anyone.
Mm.
He's unstoppable. He's unstoppable and he's huge, so he's exhausting. Draymond has talked about this before. Guarding that guy is a complete fork in the eye. And so Oklahoma City's going to have to do that. And I think they'll survive, but they're going to come out with some bruises for sure. I don't think they're overwhelmingly dominant in this group of 4 teams. I really don't.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, the odds would tell you.
I think they're the best one. I don't think they're dominant.
They're minus 900 to win the series.
I know.
So,
I know.
It just, Oklahoma City can beat you in so many different ways. They've got the great guard in Gilgeous Alexander. They've got size. They've got shooting. They've got depth. They've got defense. It would be, I'm not going to say a choke job if they didn't get through Denver, but when you're that big of a favorite,
it would be quite an upset.
It would be a huge disappointment.
But it's Denver. Like, that's kind of the point. Like, you're dealing with champions. The other thing that Oklahoma City has going for them, the other team has Russell Westbrook. So there's that.
Sure.
Did you see him talk over the weekend about?
No, I missed it.
He talked
you
about.
You are fixated by him.
I can't stand him. He talked about the Russell Westbrook experience.
Did he go third person?
He spoke about it. He goes, when you watch me play, you're going to get it all. Like, might make a 3.
That's good awareness.
Yeah,
I like that.
Might miss a 3. Might be a turnover. Might be this. But in the end, what he was saying is, but don't get it twisted. I'm a really smart basketball player.
Oh.
And I'm like, but lost in all this is the Russell Westbrook back at Oklahoma City angle.
Yep.
I'm curious to see how they respond to him. I don't think they're going to call him a cupcake like they did Kevin Durant. I don't think that they've, you know what I mean? I think they still love Russell Westbrook. I don't know.
Well, how many teams removed is he now?
Oh,
like 4 or 5?
Yeah.
He's been to a number of different places.
Washington?
Yep.
Houston?
Yeah. Wasn't he a Laker?
The Lakers.
He was a Clippers.
Clippers. Nuggets. So that's 5.
Are we missing anything?
Man, we're on fire.
Yeah. Hard to be that angry, but I get it.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike in Pacifica. We're going to play a little bit of the special things that Buddy Hield had to say this morning on the roast. But let's keep going with you, Mike in Pacifica. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Big fan. Love your show. And like you, I am very happy that we're still talking Warriors today, not in a funeral sense. Glad to be doing that. So as happy as we all are, I was going to go with more of a glass half empty, you know, take. Like, one thing that is bothering me, has been bothering me, is the offensive attack. Like, so often us working so hard, the Warriors working so hard to get the ball 5 to 7 feet from the basket, kind of nobody really there. And instead of trying to get a shot up, they'll fire it back out to the 3-point line. And, if you watch the Comcast broadcast last night, Klenna was all over it, mentioning that over and over again, like not going with a pump fake, not going with the floater. And it was happening a lot in game 5, game 6. But last night it was happening again. Yelled at the TV several times about it. luckily Buddy Hield exploded and we had awesome defense and no turnovers. I think that's why we won. But if we keep this up, and you think about it, now we're going to Minnesota where there's one of the best shot blockers ever. I'm a little bit worried that it's going to continue. And I'm wondering what they're practicing in their practices. They practice running inside and firing it back out. I'd like to see them practice floaters and pump fakes and clever finishes. Steph Curry can make clever finishes, right? Let's have more of these guys try that. So that's I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah, Mike, I think, it's an interesting take. I see what Mike sees. At the same time, I also think, we talk about, you're going to go up against Rudy Gobert, and he's this great shot blocker. He is a good shot blocker. He's also not going to be on the floor the entire game. And outside of Rudy Gobert, this is not the length and athleticism matchup that the Warriors just had to deal with. It's not. Like, I think getting an interior shot off against the Rockets where there's Şengün, and there's Steven Adams, and there's Jabari Smith, and there's Tari Eason, and there's Amen Thompson. There are so many long, bouncy arms. I get why the Warriors might pass up some of these interior shots at times. And yes, sometimes it's a mistake, but I get it. Like, I wonder if they didn't almost kind of get intimidated away from that. What will that look like in the next round? I don't think this is as big of an interior defensive challenge, even with Gobert in there. Because again, he won't play the entire time, and I also don't think he moves as well as some of the young Rockets do. But I see what Mike sees. There are times Jimmy Butler is probably the biggest defender. Sometimes he looks like he's like gotten by his man and he's there, and then he leaves his feet and like throws it back out to the 3-point line.
A lot of that's by design, because they shoot the second most threes per game in the association. So they. A lot of times if you can drive and it's a contested two or it's a Steph three, you're going to throw it out every time. The other thing about the Minnesota D, and we'll get more into it tomorrow, but they do have a couple of really good perimeter defenders in Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Yes, they do.
Those are both long, active wing defenders. And just looking at what they did in the regular year, they were sixth against the three in the regular season, and their defensive rating is the same as the Warriors. So it's not like they're going to be a pushover. Said it earlier.
Yeah, they're good.
Any of the eight remaining teams, they're going to be good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go next to Charlie in Livermore. Hi, Charlie. Really, thank you for calling. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? I just got home with a bag of groceries, so I'll be quick. But 3.5 things. Number one, you guys are one of my favorite shows. Love listening to you.
Thank you.
Number two, last night was amazing. It was such a breath of fresh air. It was such a relief. I got to watch it with my son. He was up pacing. He's 12 years old, and he's doing what his dad does, just taking it in. And, boy, what a joy it was to see them pull it off. But I really do think they're up against the wall. I really think that the Warriors, or the Rockets for that matter, needed to finish this series out Game 5 or Game 6 in order to have a strong hope. I think there's still a hope, but a strong hope for the future. They need that rest. These guys are getting older. They need to breathe. They need to kind of get their bearings. And I'm worried about this Minnesota series. But that said, watching what Buddy did, watching what some of these other guys have done throughout the series, I'm still hopeful. I still have that beautiful, maybe ignorant optimism because of who the Warriors are and what they've done in the past, that they're going to pull it off.
Well, Charlie, I don't know how you can't because of what these guys continue to do. Thanks so much. But I hear his point, and I do largely kind of feel the same way. Again, that was the point that I had on Friday. I don't think it's like you could win on Sunday, but I don't think that leaves you in a great spot. But then again, these guys continue to surprise us. And the one thing where I'll back up off of that point a little bit is I just want to say it's a new matchup. It's a new matchup, and sometimes that holds a little key in it that you didn't know about. So it's like, well, the Warriors are playing this well or they're playing poorly or whatever. And you're like, okay, but that was the Rockets. Now you get a whole new matchup. And the Warriors have, and I know it was the pre-Butler Warriors, but they've done very well against Minnesota in recent times. And so that's sort of where I'm holding out hope that maybe offensively the Warriors will have a little bit more of an open floor, a little bit more of an opportunity to maneuver. But then again, I think they're going up against a more devastating offensive team. So their challenge defensively goes up as well. So,
yeah, it's anyway. Funny you say that because I'm just going through some of the game logs as I'm getting ready for the deep dive dibs tomorrow. And the third game they played against Minnesota, the T-Wolves, they beat Minnesota 113-103. And that was a game in Minnesota. The T-Wolves went 7 minutes and 38 seconds without a point.
Without scoring.
7:38. Yeah. So
did Randle or DiVincenzo play in that game?
Randle and DiVincenzo, I know that your boy, Andrew Wiggins, played. Look at you, Wiggs.
Oh.
Edwards, Gobert, McDaniels, Randle, and Dante off the bench.
All right, so they were all there. Like the one thing I think about these two teams, one, obviously the Warriors were not who they are now until Jimmy Butler arrived, and two, Minnesota played a lot of the middle of the season without Randle, without DiVincenzo. They were very hurt.
Yep.
So both of these teams, the 6 and the 7 seed, as we detailed a week and a half ago, in my way of thinking, these are actually both top 4 seeds in the West. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they both won in round 1, I think, is further evidence of that. So these are two of the best 4 teams in the West. Forget about the whole 6 and 7 thing. I think both of them are better than they were the last time they played each other. I don't know who the net winner of that is, though. You know what I mean? Minnesota's healthier. The Warriors have added a star. So,
right.
I don't know. Who got better since they last saw each other? I don't know.
Well, since March 1st, and I was just looking at that because I know that Minnesota started to catch fire then.
Yep.
They are 17-4 in the regular year and now 4-1 in the playoffs. They're 21-5 since March 1st.
They're really good.
The Warriors aren't quite that good, and I know that you missed Jimmy Butler and you missed Steph for a couple of games. You lost both of those. The Warriors are up there. It's Minnesota, OKC, Boston, then the Warriors on that list since March 1st. And I know it's an arbitrary date, and I get it's an arbitrary stat, but it speaks to just how good Minnesota's been. And they didn't add a player, but they got their ass together.
Yeah, they got their act together.
They got healthy, and Finchie got the fellas playing all on the same page, and they've been awesome.
Yeah, they've been very good. Although, I saw a stat online that I think a lot of you might find interesting. Do with it what you will.
Okay.
But
I'll fact check it first and then, you know.
Check this out. You know all that was made about the Houston Rockets in the half-court offense? If the Warriors could keep them in the half-court offense, that's not their strength. And when the Warriors were able to stop them from fast breaking and not commit turnovers, that turned out to be true. The Rockets struggled most of the series in the half-court offense. Well, the Timberwolves against the Lakers in round 1 were even less efficient than the Rockets were in the series against the Warriors in the half-court offense. So I don't know what that says. Like, for instance, they closed the Lakers out on a night that Anthony Edwards went 0-for-11 from three-point range.
Mm.
They had one game where they went crazy from three-point land, and it was game 1. And they took it. They took it in L.A., and then the Lakers came back and even the series, and then Minnesota never lost again. But that was, I think, in part, the Lakers played horribly. Like, the Lakers were awful. Now, does Minnesota get credit for that? You have to give them some. But the T-Wolves in the half-court offense, in other words, it's a little bit of a similar assignment for the Warriors. Don't turn the ball over. Don't let them fast break. You'll probably get beat at least once because the Wolves will just get nuts from three-point range. But outside of that, if you can stay out of the fast break offense for Minnesota, you might have a chance. Your defense has been that good. Might have a shot.
Yep, might have a shot. I'm looking at the first game they played this year, Minnesota 107, Golden State 90, in a game here at Chase Center. And the T-Wolves shot 45% from the floor, 33% from three, and they had 21 turnovers. The Warriors, 39 from the floor, 28 from three,
jeez,
22 turnovers.
Oh, God.
So Minnesota was
disgusting
bad.
Basketball
and
game.
The Warriors were worse. Yeah. And, you know, it was a game where Steph was 6 of 17, and it was one of those, well, Buddy played 13 minutes, one of those games where, all right, buddy, you sit next to coach.
Right. But none of the shots were falling.
Right, and the team that they had then is not the team they have now, and it's a game. Draymond Green came off the bench in this one, so he must have been coming back from an injury of some sort. But
yeah.
That was just a dud all the way around.
Yeah, I'm going to keep harping on that same number. I think that it's probably what Steve Kerr is harping on. If they take care of the basketball, they become very, very difficult to beat. Doesn't make them unbeatable, but very, very difficult. How about Josh in Castro Valley next up? Hi, Josh. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Great show today. Thank you for it.
Thanks, Josh.
I got to give Buddy Hield an apology. I've been calling him Buddy Bench since he got here, and I've been really, you know, it's just one of those things where I asked my friends, I said, does your stomach ache when they pass the ball to him? Man, he lit it up last night. So I'm going to start calling him Buddy Bounce Back.
There you go.
Bounce Back Buddy.
Josh,
and I'm going to ask you guys, I got this idea about the bounce back shooter, somebody who, you know, struggles, and then one night they go off. Like, what happens after that? Is the bounce back continue? Like, what do you guys think where Buddy Hield is at with that? Is he somebody that can continue this, or is this looks like once in a while he's going to give you a million? And
that's an interesting question. You know who first pops, and thanks, Josh.
Yeah.
You know who first pops to mind when he said that? Is actually Fred VanVleet, who was terrible for two or three games in this series and then absolutely caught fire. And I kept thinking, well, he's not going to do that again. And then he did. And I'm like, oh, he's not going to do it again. And he did. And even last night, which was not as good, the Warriors defended him beautifully. He still shot 50% from behind the arc. He still went 3 for 6. Nothing to sneeze at there. So he just found the zone and he stayed there. Could Buddy do it? I mean, I'm never going to suggest that he's going to do what he did last night. 9 of 11 is absolutely bananas, with one of them being just inside half court.
Yep.
But let's also not forget, I know he's only been a Warrior for a year. Buddy Hield is an all-time three-point shooter. This is not like, I mean, this is not like somebody who just you've never heard of, who went crazy and had 9 threes on a one-off night. This is a guy who is one of the 10 or 15 top three-point shooters in terms of volume in the history of the game. So is he capable of staying hot from out there? To a degree, yeah, absolutely. Three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's actually number 16. So if I would have said top 10 or 15, I would have gotten buzzed. I'm not advocating for a buzz here, but he's 16 threes away from Paul Pierce. Yeah, that felt good.
I mean, the year's not over yet. So,
well,
anyway,
this is the regular season stat, so you can go ahead and double up on that. But
I'm going to be right. It's just not until next year.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly.
All right.
But to the caller's point, like, can Buddy do it again? Sure. Game one this year, 5 of 7 from three. Then
that's
7
great.
Of 9. Then 1 of 9. Then 7 of 11. Then 4 of 12. Welcome to Buddy Hield. And, you know, the first, like, 15 games was like, oh, my God. Sacramento, what are you talking about? We love this guy. You guys all missed out. And then Buddy had a stretch where it was 2 of 6, 1 of 6, 0 of 2, 7 of 13, 3 of 9, 3 of 8, 1 of 3, 3 of 8. So he runs hot and cold. Shout out Katy Perry.
I think in this series, you ask for 2 Buddy games.
Yep.
That's all I'd ask for. Give me 2 Buddy games. If you can get 2 Buddy games, you're probably going to win both those games. And then you take your shot with the other 5 opportunities to see if you can win 2 of the other 5 and move on to round 3. That's kind of what I would hope for.
I see a 1-5, 1-6, 0-7, 0-3, 1-5.
Yeah.
And you went 2-3 in that stretch. Not his fault, but those were...
Didn't help.
Those were Buddy games.
Here's Buddy Hield this morning on 95.7 The Game talking about absorbing the moment.
You know, I saw my brothers, we have a group chat. They always annoy me, my group chat. My brother, my mom has 7 kids, and I have a brother that is older than me. He's the 4th child. I'm the 5th. And I got 2 sisters under me. But the 4th one, he's like crazy. He's always been my biggest supporter from day one. And he's been annoying me in the group chat about just staying focused and locked in and whatever. I feed off them, you know, and I feed off the grace of God, and I feed off them, and I just know that they have my back on everything I do. And, you know, they know that I was capable. They've been waiting for all year for me to get to this moment, and finally, and came in game 7. But you know, just God doesn't make any mistake, and his timing is never late. And just keep trusting my work, and just trusting my teammates and trusting the coaching staff to put me in great position.
There it is from Buddy Hield, and we wanted to let you hear this too. For those of you who weren't with us earlier, you may have noticed the little hippity hop kind of get on the horse celebration from Buddy Hield after a 3-pointer, and the guys asked Buddy about that. And here is his response.
So me and Tyrese Halliburton, he came in one day, and then it's like a TikTok went viral when he's saying it with the bow, bow, bow. And then we just thought every time he shoot a 3, it was like a bow, bow, bow. And after that, there's a dance. It was like bum, bum, bum. And then after that, when you just knocking your legs and like just from New Orleans, you know, I just start adding that dance to that, and we're just having fun with it, and it never left me. So every time I go out or I around people and or whatever, I just hit the bow 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 dance. Every pregame we hit the bow 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 dance. I try to get everybody in the middle. Even the coaches hit it today. Even because Steve hit it last night. Terry Stotts is really good at hitting the bob, bob, bob dance.
Oh,
I think everybody. I haven't let Draymond hit it. Draymond is still shy hitting the bob, bob dance now. But Steph has hit it. Jimmy hasn't hit it yet, but we can get Jimmy to hit it. But like everybody's hit it except Steph. Steph has hit it. Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, and I think JK. We got a lot of shy guys on the team, you know. We got to get them on the show, you know. We got to get them on the show.
Okay, there it is from Buddy Hield. He would like actually 95.7 The Game to help in opening up some of the shyer Warriors, although I believe on his list was Draymond Green, who I've never considered to be a shy human being.
No, but I don't know if he's like down to dance. He's into the night-night, and he and Steph with a little double night-night last night.
I thought Steph waited too long on the night-night. Like, Steph night-nighted when Buddy made it 20, but Steph was the one who hit a 3 to make it 17, and I thought we were ready. I'm like, you're there. There's 2 minutes to go, and you're up by 17. Give it to him, Steph. Give him the night-night.
Give it to him.
He wasn't ready.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it yet. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe because he had foreseen that Pods was going to allow them to score and then just give him the basketball right after anyway. Which was one of the more awkward, like, it was probably the worst who gives a crap turnovers I've ever seen.
The inbound pass.
He just throws it to Houston and is like,
here, you want 2 more?
Sure.
Put that in.
I mean, if you're an overbetter, you're like, a couple more of those.
Maybe that's the way BP celebrates. That's his own personal night-night. It's like, we're up by so much, I'll let you have another one.
Dude, totally.
Put that in the bucket. Guess what? We're still going to beat you.
I mean,
he was right.
Of all of the like god-awful turnovers, that was probably the least offensive one in my whole career.
Did you guys also see in the final couple of seconds, I forget exactly what the situation was, but Draymond and Pajemski were both begging for Steve Kerr to challenge a call
in the
final seconds when the game was over?
I think it was just like who the ball was out
I think
out
it was
on.
Out of bounds under the Rockets basket.
It was an out-of-bounds play. And they all went crazy.
There was like 8 seconds left.
I know.
Challenge it.
Do you want to know how upset I was at the Rockets? I was like, yeah, challenge it. Just give it to them. Just so everybody gets that taste in their mouth on the way out the door. Rub it in.
Speaking of challenges, I got over it. Speaking of challenges, that terrible Ime Udoka challenge in the first half.
I was about to mention
it. Clearly off the Rockets.
Yep. Totally.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, and that... I don't know how it transpired, but that's probably on his assistants because that's how that works, right? They've got iPads there in the second row, and they give him a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and they took a look at it, and they missed it. They missed it, and so he challenged, and thank you very much.
But knowing the threshold of failure on challenges, you cannot afford in I think it was the second quarter on an out-of-bounds play. No. It's not like your star's about to get his fourth. Okay, second quarter, boy, this is big. It's a possession call. You cannot afford to challenge that and miss. I thought it was just another example of him getting out-coached in the series.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, to me, I would almost, the way this system works, I would almost eliminate the idea of even using it in the first half.
Yep.
Like, I'm not.
Unless it's your star who's going to get into foul trouble.
Right, or if it's like worth 3 or 4 points or something like that on the scoreboard. But I'm not using that then, unless you're beyond sure or there's an extenuating circumstance. All right, Morgan in Morgan Hill. What's up, Morgan? Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm still basking in the glow of Game 7. And, I'm starting to – I just have this swell of appreciation not only for the Warriors but for sports, because what other form of entertainment has the drama of sports? I think for people who don't pay attention to sports, you know, unlike people like me, you guys, and a lot of the callers and listeners of your show, you know that sports is full of drama of the human beings, the season-long arc, the arc of a series, the arc of a career. And so I'm just feeling so thankful. So I want to bring this back to Buddy Hield, because it's quite interesting that you played that morning roast interview, which I listened to this morning on my way into work. And the one moment that I was just getting really all warm and fuzzy inside was when he was talking about that text message that he's got with his family. And then I was just envisioning, you know, what that text message exchange is like after that game and just all the love. And I was just feeling so warm and fuzzy this morning after that interview, and just feeling, you know, this is an appreciation sensation for the Warriors and all the drama that they've given us. And I know that there's going to be more drama in this next series.
Well, Morgan, I'll tell you what, I'll agree with you from this standpoint. Morgan, thanks so much for the call. This team is starting to have, and I shouldn't say starting, they've got this characteristic that I don't know how many times this is going to repeat itself. Every single time you think they're done giving you something to watch or think about or talk about, they give you more. How many times have you thought in the last 4 years, well, those days are over? Like, how many times?
Think back to 2022. Yeah, what did I say whole postseason?
Yeah, this is not a championship team.
No, this is not happening.
It's not happening. And then they win a championship. And then, you know, then we go through the whole period with the downtrodden nature of the whole Jordan Poole story and all that frustration through the season a couple of years ago and everything. And then the constant chatter last year and this year about, God, they're, you know, Priest, they're too old. Like, right, this is over. We got to stop trying to think that this is going to get revitalized. And then even within this series, most of us woke up yesterday and went, well, probably not. Like, they're probably going to be over today. Boom. Just gave you another series. It's unbelievable.
Well, in the way they gave it to you. Like, yep. Steph wins game 7 at Sacramento. He scores 50. All right, Steph, one for the ages. Yep. Amazing. Spectacular, special, I'll never forget it. Wow, Steph Curry did that. This was Buddy Hield with 33. And I mentioned this earlier, he's played 725 games, regular season, postseason. He scored 33 or more 11 times. That's 1%. So what he did for his own career was a 1% performance, and it happened in Game 7.
Oh, it's got to be the highlight of his career.
Well, yes.
That has to be, like, that is the biggest night of Buddy Hield's professional career.
Without a doubt.
Not even close.
I was just looking at it in terms of nights where he scored 33 or more. He did it 10 times in the regular season, never with the Warriors. He had never done it in the playoffs, obviously, because he hadn't really been in the playoffs. So to do that for him is a 1% thing. To do that in Game 7 on the road is even more, incredibly rare.
Yeah. No, that's a career changer. For Buddy Hield.
When we talk about legacy, that's a legacy changer. Yeah, at least here in this market.
No, he will. Well, sure, he will forever have that. Like, he is somebody who put up 33 points in a road Game 7 double-digit victory. That doesn't come off of your ledger. How about Chris in Sonoma? Hey, Chris, thanks for calling. What's going on?
How are you guys today?
Great, man.
Beautiful. Hey, a couple things. So one of the previous callers was talking about runners and floaters. And my comment on that, all well and good, but you guys know, floaters, especially of the baseline kind, are the least efficient shot in basketball at every level. Floaters down the middle lane, a little bit better. If you're Steph Curry, it's a great shot. If you're Tony Parker, it's a great shot. Most other guys, not so much. That's the first comment. Second, next series, I don't see the Minnesota Timberwolves being as proficient as Houston was at running the Warriors off the three-point line. Houston was fabulous at that. And how many times did you guys catch yourself talking to the TV, quoting Don Nelson, a shot created must be taken, right? Passed up an awful lot of shots. I don't see Minnesota being quite as good as Houston at running shooters off the arc. Last thing, this series to me is a Kevon Looney 12 to 15 minutes a game series for the simple fact that they've got to counter Gobert, which would allow someone to play Julius Randle, who likes to be outside a little bit more, and Naz Reid, who's become a tremendous three-point shooter. So I'm thinking Looney likely plays a huge role in this series. Not enormous minutes, but really meaningful minutes. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I could see that, Chris. Thanks. I mean, you always wonder kind of like with the two big guys, actual big guys that the Warriors have, you'd love to have them get married and create this person who could both be brilliant with defense and rebounding in spurts and then also hit threes at the other end. They've got Quentin Post, who sometimes can hit threes on defense. Right now, he's a tough watch. He's a rookie, and he gets beat a lot by the smarts of the veteran players out there. And then Looney's the opposite. You know, he doesn't give you a whole lot offensively, but you feel so comfortable with his defense and rebounding and toughness and all of that. So, you know, which one will fit more in this series? You're probably right. You pick your spots a little bit. I could definitely see 10 or 15 minutes, at least in some games, for Kevon Looney. And then his previous point about the three-point line is a good one as well. Who will probably guard Steph? McDaniels?
I think so.
Probably McDaniels. How does he match up, like, versus an Amen Thompson with Steph? McDaniels is a very good defender. He's very good. I don't think he's as challenging for Steph as Thompson was. Challenging, not as challenging.
Steph shot 45.8% from the line, behind the line against Minnesota in four games.
Wow.
So 22 for 48. Pretty good.
It's a big number.
It's pretty good. And they went 3-1 in those games. No Jimmy Butler, so I know that you can't look at a game in November and draw a lot of conclusions when the two teams are different, or December. Remember they played in the stay-and-play? They played the back-to-back games against Minnesota, and they ended up splitting those games. But Steph certainly, in the four games, shot the ball pretty well.
Yeah, it's been a good matchup for the Warriors, and their guards, you know, obviously mainly Steph. But this, you know, throw Pods and Moody and I guess Buddy Hield in there, and to a degree Jimmy Butler. I think that Minnesota is going to have, at least on paper, a little bit of a hard time guarding those guys. Houston has more in the way of options defensively against the Warriors guards than Minnesota does. So that's one sort of, I mean, there's a thousand things to go over, but that's one hat tip for the Warriors. I do think their backcourt will have more freedom of movement in this series than they did in the last one.
I just wonder about the front court and how you go about matching up with Randle, because they're going to hit you with three bigs at times. And I know that Naz Reid is kind of a stretch five, and so maybe that's where Quentin Post gets a chance to go out there and guard Naz Reid, and Naz Reid guards Quentin Post. But it's Gobert, who he's become a better offensive player. He certainly isn't Şengün, but he's somebody that you can't just put GP2 on.
He's a putback monster, is what he was. I think he scored like 26 points against the Lakers in the closeout game, and it was all just tips and putbacks around the rim, and get ready. Like, the Warriors struggle with that, obviously. He is way, way taller than any other Warrior. So think about, and he's not Steven Adams. He's a different type of player, but he'll play the same role, and he's a little bit better free throw shooter than Adams is. So you can't just hug him and put him on the line and try to run him off of the floor because I think he'll knock a few more of those down. I don't know what his percentage is. Do you have that in front of you? What's Rudy Gobert?
67.4.
Okay, that's
so a little bit better than Adams.
I mean, Adams is like 45.
Oh, is that low?
I think he was 45, although, man, that was when you knew Game 6 was not going to go the Warriors' way.
The Kiwi.
They kept hacking Adams, and he's making most of his free throws, and then he finally misses two, and Şengün just tips it in for 2 points. Like, that moment, I was like, okay, it's not going to happen tonight. That was super frustrating.
He was 9 for 16 in that game.
From the line?
Yep.
Oh, man.
And he is 53% for his career.
50 for his career.
46 this year.
Yeah, I was going to say. I thought he was at about 45, 46 for this season. All right. We're sponsored by Safeway and nowhere near done yet. 888-957-9570 is the number. Got one more comment from Buddy Hield from this morning that we want to play for you. And... still more time for your calls, your Game 7 reacts, your Game 7 story. 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.
Now Jalen Green, dribble drive, stops, brings it back out. Shot clock at 10. Dribbles again to the paint, spins it outside to Tari Eason. He'll drive on Curry, goes up, blocked by Looney. Loose ball deflected out to Jabari Smith. He'll shoot it, no good. And the rebound to Looney, to Buddy Hield. He's got 3 seconds. He's got two from half court. Pulls up for a three. It's good! Buddy Hield knocks one in from midcourt at the buzzer. And the Warriors take a four-point lead to the bench at the end of the first quarter.
Hey, Aries, Buddy Hield. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7, The Game.
Man, you're the toast of the town. There's no two ways about it. It's a game changer for Buddy Hield. Absolute game changer for his time as a Golden State Warrior.
Yeah, and his time as an NBA player. Like, if you look back at his career, you will look back right now if it happens to end at the end of this year, which I hope it doesn't, and it probably won't. You look at that performance, and you also look at the fact that he's one of the great Iron Men in an era where players don't usually play basketball. They'd rather not play basketball. Like, your job is to play hoop.
Yeah.
And for the majority of these players in the association, they don't really play as much as Buddy does. And you look at his career, 82. Last year he played 84, which is almost impossible, but he did it. The year before that he played 80. So, and the year before that he played 81. Buddy Hield, I play basketball.
Yeah. No, he's an Iron Man, although sometimes when he plays, he only plays for like 8 minutes. But still, he plays. I hear you. Here's the other thing. This is one other thing that we haven't played yet that was from his appearance on the roast on 95.7 The Game earlier today. And I think it highlights the angst and the push-pull of rooting for a team that houses Draymond Green. I just want to talk about this for a sec because I feel it, and I know a lot of you do too. Some of you love him. Some of you don't like him. Some of you are everywhere in between. I kind of split the difference. There are things he does that I don't like for sure, obviously, in his career, even the way that he handles games. But I also understand how vital he is for Warriors basketball, and it's tough. Sometimes it does. It puts you in a silly situation, We practically did a whole show last week where I was just taking this thought at Dylan Brooks and that thought at Dylan Brooks, and I don't see them as the same, but a lot of people do. And so everyone's coming down your road where it's like you're gonna talk about dirty play and you root for a team that has Draymond Green. I understand how that is a fine line to walk, but we play this for you. So that those of you who look at box scores and technical fouls and go, what the hell does this team put up with Draymond Green and all of the antics? Well, Buddy Hield just had the performance of his life, and both after the game last night and this morning on the roast, he pointed to Draymond Green and the speech that he gave to the team.
Just showing that how we were not connected in the last two games that we didn't play, and this shows that, like, what how much this game means to everybody. And just going out there and just laying on the line and don't get distracted. by Draymond talking about him, how he was not locked in, and I'm sure he said in the media, you saw his comments in the media, and just going there and seizing the moment, you know, and just enjoying it and getting back our joy and being connected to each other. And we didn't feel that we were connected in those last two games, and that's why we took a fall, why we had to play in game seven. You know, and the way they were commentating those, Draymond speaking and Steph speaking and Jimmy speaking, you know, just to give you chills, man, because those guys are being the fire, you know, and you know how bad they want it, and you know how much winning means to them because they've been to the mountaintop four times. And just hearing them speak and just falling in the lead and, you know, just being in that room, you know, with a bunch of, like, Hall of Famers. And for them to call the team meetings, you know the seriousness of that meeting. And they know that getting us ready in that moment will just prepare us for the game tomorrow, which is yesterday.
There it is. That's Buddy Hield recounting the speech from Draymond Green and other veterans in the room, sort of letting them know the gravity of the moment. And everything surrounding Buddy Hield is always playful and fun and joking around. But when it came to this 24 hours, he locked in. He dialed in.
Well, they all did. And yep. Draymond was spectacular. And you can't get too far past Buddy Hield without getting to Draymond Green when you're talking about who played the best for the Golden State Warriors. Steph was huge in the fourth. Draymond was big in the first offensively and throughout the game. And, you know, what you started your lead in with is kind of what frustrates you, because you look at the foul on Fred VanVleet that was a technical, could have been a flagrant. It could have been a lot of things where he goes up to make a pass and he gets stripped and he just throws his forearm into Fred VanVleet's face. And these are the things where if you're not a Warrior fan, or even if you are a Warrior fan, you look at that and you say, that's unnecessary. Right. It's unnecessary. Right. It makes it hard to defend you when, you know, you spent a show and a half or whatever railing against Dylan Brooks, and for the last two games, Dylan Brooks didn't do anything.
No, although
he didn't swipe at a thumb. He didn't punch an opponent with a forearm.
Oh, actually, Steph did point to the ref at one point last night and accused Dylan Brooks of swiping directly at the thumb, and he didn't do anything in game six because he fouled so many people early that he had to sit for most of the second half.
He sat for a lot,
yeah, but
you know, last night, you know, the Draymond Green play is what makes it hard to,
for me, it
makes it hard to not compare the two, because when Draymond gets stripped and he just happens to throw his arm out into a guy's face, that to me is very Brooksian.
Right. Although, you know, the line I keep trying to draw is that I don't see, at least in this generation of, in this series, I don't see Draymond going after pre-existing injuries. I don't see Draymond knocking people out of the air who are in a vulnerable position. The things that Dylan Brooks has done.
Yeah. Not this series
for Dylan, although yeah. Thompson. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hey, Rich, what's going on?
Hey, Rich. What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I can tell you right now, man, I am phenomenal. I had a phenomenal day at work. You know, it's interesting what a Warriors win will do for you on a Monday. You know, I've been watching these NBA playoff promos on TV and on the internet. And, you know, the one thing I noticed was that I've been seeing the promos where they had Cleveland, they had Boston, they had New York, they had Houston. They had all these teams on there. I didn't see no promos with L.A., no promos with the Warriors. It was all these other teams. And I thought, wow, okay, I guess they're doing that is because they're higher seeded. I don't know. But at any rate, the Warriors are still in the thick of this thing. And I want to point out, Buddy Hield, I'm not going to say anymore because I know he got his flowers today. Everybody's been praising him, and they should, because he balled out. But there was a single shot from Podziemski yesterday. I couldn't believe it, man. He came inside the paint, dribbled, had his man on him. Wait a minute. Turned around, got airborne, released it. The shot was pure. It was fluid. It looked like Sean Livingston with an elbow jumper, and it went right into the net. I was like, okay, look, I didn't know you could do that. Okay, that was an amazing shot from a guy who simply does everything else. But that shot, that was just – he keeps doing that, man. He's going to be averaging 25 points a game. But that was an amazing shot, and praise to to our guy. You know, he's sometimes inconsistent, but when he shows up big. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Rich. I mean, they're all inconsistent. That's why they're role players. I mean, there were inconsistencies even amongst the stars. But I really do think that's the formula. You can't coach it. You can't ask for it. You just kind of hope for it. The formula to me, and it'll be true in this series again, let Jimmy and Steph be themselves, Draymond handle things on defense, and I hope there's at least one other Warrior who brings his three-point shot to the party. Pods, Moody, Buddy, Quentin, whatever. If one other guy goes 3, 4, 5 three-point shots, the Warriors are really, really hard to beat.
Yeah, and that's what that series was, if you look at it. And outside of Jimmy and Steph, game one, Pods, he hit 3 threes, and it was a low-scoring, grinded-out game, so you didn't need too much from the quote-unquote others, but you got enough from Pods to get that done. And then game three was another game where you got that contribution from Buddy Hield. Buddy, 5 of 11. You said you wanted one or two Buddy games in a series. You got two against Houston. One was unbelievable, and that was enough to get it done.
Let's go to Skills in Vallejo. Skills, take us to the finish line, man. What's going on?
Yo, what is up, Mark Willard, Dan Dibley? I'll tell you the truth, that for Game 7 last night, my faith in Golden State did not waver one inch, except for the 48 hours between Game 6 and Game 7. I will tell you, they came through at the end. Buddy Hield. I went to Hield College, H-E-A-L-D College. I graduated in 2003. The Rockets graduated from H-I-E-L-D College last night. He took them all to school, from Calvin Murphy to Ralph Sampson to Vernon Maxwell, all the way to Mount Matumbo, Luis Scola. They all felt it. It would rain down on all those guys. It rained down, and it's gonna rain down on Minnesota here coming up in the next round here in the Joe Smith Classic. I think it's the first time the Warriors and Timberwolves have ever played each other in the postseason.
That's true.
They've never been good at the same time, but I'm looking forward to it. And 6 games is my prediction.
Okay.
Have a good night, guys.
All right, Skills, thanks.
Thank you, Skills.
You know, it doesn't need to be the Joe Smith Classic. It could be the Jimmy Butler Classic.
Could be the Dante DiVincenzo Classic.
It could be, yeah. Revenge Tour, Jimmy Butler, Dante DiVincenzo.
I'm sure there's other crossover we can get into as we go. But
any other Warriors who have played for the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I'm thinking about Tom Gugliotta.
Well, I was thinking currently on the roster.
Oh, he said Joe Smith, which is kind of what launched it.
Right.
I thought that it was going to be safe to go back in time.
You can go wherever you want, brother. You're one of the hosts of this show.
I was just thinking about, like, who was a part of that famous Warrior trade with Minnesota, and I think it was Googs.
I think you're right. But
plus, I just wanted to say Gugliotta.
Did you guys mention D'Angelo Russell?
No. Good call. Go.
Definitely not.
D'Lo. Wiggins.
Wiggins, sure. Steph should have played for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Dude, twice.
But they're dumb. So there's that.
Minnesota and Phoenix, the only Western teams that Steph has not faced in the playoffs.
Did you guys mention Jimmy Butler?
Yes. Yep. That's actually where the conversation
started. Very Lucas of you, right?
Latrell
there.
Sprewell?
There you go. That's a good one.
Don't confuse the point by bringing up more names. You weren't listening. You weren't listening, Grandy.
Yeah, you're right. I wasn't.
I know. It's okay. You've been here for a long time.
I'm getting ready for Best Of.
Right. What is on Best Of? What are you doing?
Well, you guys have played a big chunk, at least some of the cuts from Buddy Hield on the Morning Roast with Bonte, who was in, by the way. So Bonte and Shasky. We're going to hear that full conversation coming up next. And then you two plus Steiny and Goo on the crossover.
Yeah. So Buddy Hield and then the crossover. That's a fun 1-2 punch. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors made 18 three-pointers last night. Buddy Hield almost got this donation by himself.
Nice.
You only need 10. He got 9. So he had half of the Warriors' threes. Buddy with 9 of them. Steph had 4. Draymond 2. Jimmy 2. 65th donation of the year for Triples for Autism. If you want to help out, if you want to donate, go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. And the aforementioned Grandy and Best Of is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Would you like to do it again tomorrow?
Absolutely. It's a game day.
You're damn right you would.
Yep.
That's right. We do. We got game one tomorrow night. quick turnaround. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.